All right. Question. Maybe you guys can help me out. Does anybody remember their first experience at church? Maybe this church. Actually, like all of us kind of have a first experience at this church. Or maybe another church. First time going to church. Anybody brave enough to share like an emotion that accompanies that memory? Or just, what do you got? One word, Cole.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. You can do, I'm sorry, you can do a little more.
Ooh.
Nice. Nice. Oh, so you're going way back. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. First experience at any church. White Wolf.
So my mom, not to put pink on me, she forgot to change her clothes and everything. Took me to church. I ripped that dress apart. She had to take me home in my birthday suit. And Pastor Cole said, don't ever bring her shirt home.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sorry about that. Any emotions? Yeah, thank you. That's what I was assuming we would get some of. Okay. Thanks. Adam.
Overwhelmed.
And I got a amen. Yeah, these are good. So, Carla already kind of led us there. This is one of our core values. We've got 9 of these, and we are just occasionally spending some time with one of them. And this morning, as we talk about connect the unconnected, I recognize that this one, maybe more than the others, can get, or at least can begin to feel a little bit personal. We've got memories associated with things like feeling disconnected or unconnected. So we're going to wade into what Scripture has to say about this, and then our heart as a church, how to do this well. If any toes are stepped on, it is not intentional other than to just try to poke it. How do we live this out? How does Jesus want the church to look like? And I've been wrestling with this concept, reading through a bunch of passages on church, on gathering and all that the last couple of weeks. And it just stood out really stark to me. The phrase attend church is not in our Bible. There is no sentence that says go to church or attend church anywhere in our Bibles. And I think that's really telling. We're going to do a quick dive. These are the 5 closest. So these are the 5 verses I found that get like the closest to the idea of going to church. Hebrews 10:24 is often used in this conversation because right in the middle there, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and it goes on from there. Psalm 122:1 is just a great opening sentence to a psalm. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then Acts 2:42, you could kind of see it there. They devoted themselves to a few things. Apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, prayers, but one of them is the fellowship. So we've got this idea of meeting together. We've got this idea of going together to the house of the Lord. There's this devotion to fellowship. Go to that next one. There's 2 more, both from 1 Corinthians. And he's actually talking about communion in 1 Corinthians 11. But right here, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. And then this last one. So if the whole church comes together, and so on and so forth. And I know there's lots more context with those, but here's the big idea, that we now use language that the Bible doesn't use. And I'm not going to try to be dogmatic and say, don't say I'm going to church. That's not the point. But our very language, this whole idea of go to church or attend church, I think it betrays something that is true of our culture, that sneaks into our hearts, which could be perceived or maybe even more comfortable that to have an activity called church without a connection to the church is an option. And according to the Bible, that's actually not even really a category. It's not an option, according to the Bible. There's no category in the Bible for going to an activity and watching something unfold that you're not deeply connected to. And this is not the time for this rant, but I don't think the online option has helped this at all. I think being able to participate with a live stream has maybe given a little bit of access for some moments when there is a legitimate need, right? When, you know, we kind of it exploded because of illness. And I think there are some windows in which that's useful, but I was around in church before COVID, during COVID, and after COVID, and people were kind of rejoicing when they were coming back, right? So it's not a substitute. And I think that also betrays something that's here. Activity without connection is just observation. And that's not a description of church anywhere in the Bible. There's no observing it. There's no activity without connection. Unquestionably, what the Bible describes is participation. I was reorganizing my books last night because I had them alphabetical, and that was no help. I needed them by categories. So I was reorganizing my book, and this, I have not read this in a really long time. Church, Why Bother? By Philip Yancey. And in trying to understand what this book was about, because I didn't remember where to put it, I read two paragraphs that the Holy Spirit has brought to us this morning. What changed my attitude toward church? A skeptic might say that I lowered my expectations somewhere along the way. Or perhaps I got used to church, just as after numerous false starts, I got used to opera. Yet I sensed something else at work. Church has filled in me a need that could not be met in any other way. St. John of the Cross wrote, "The virtuous soul that is alone is like the burning coal that is alone. It will grow colder rather than hotter." I believe he is right. Christianity is not a purely intellectual, internal faith. It can only be lived in community. Perhaps for this reason, I have never entirely given up on church. At a deep level, I sense that church contains something I desperately need. Whenever I abandon church for a time, I find that I am the one who suffers. My faith fades, and the crusty shell of lovelessness grows over me again. I grow colder rather than hotter. And so my journeys away from church have always circled back inside. That's Church, Why Bother? By Philip Yancey. And so this core value in particular, connect the unconnected, reflects deeply on your theology of church, what you believe the church is, what you believe the church does, impacts the decisions that you and I make about this arena of our life called church. And so again, the Bible has no context at all about an event or activity to go watch. What it describes instead over and over is a community of people living out their faith with and in view of one another. And I can say that again. What the Bible describes as church is a community of people living out their faith with and in view of one another. So what that means is this morning what we're talking about actually has almost nothing to do with the like onstage elements. When we talk about the health of a church in this category, nothing to do with the sermons. Doesn't matter what order we put things. We're not talking about Sunday service stuff. There are some things that might start and take place on a Sunday, but it's mostly impacted by the rest of your time, and it's entirely about relationships. So, I want to make a proposition that for us to grow in this area, this is one of our core values, for us to succeed in being a church that connects the unconnected. The best thing that we can do is not create any kind of program called Connections or have a connection event. The best thing we can do is create a culture where connections are made, where people live out this idea, and I'm going to argue, very biblical, very Jesus idea of connecting the unconnected. So how to do that? We're going to answer it in two ways. First, we're going to talk about heart. We're going to talk about spiritual. We're going to talk about theology kind of stuff. And the second, we're going to talk about our hands and get really, really practical. And one of my favorite ever guest speaker is going to come join at that point. She's very nervous because I said that. Lauren's going to come talk to me, so I'm really excited. Or she's going to talk to you with me. But before we get Lauren up here, I want to show a couple verses. So I gave some examples at the beginning, kind of approaching a definition of church. To go from unconnected, right? That was like an emotion that kind of got shared at the beginning. To go from unconnected to connected is a journey. Doesn't really happen in like one visit, right? Any kind of relationship like that is a journey from unconnected to connected. Jesus is going to present this for us in the same way. Everybody will find themselves at some point in this spiritual maturity process in their lives. The very beginning, the short snippet when Jesus invites his disciples, I don't think we have this one, Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 5, Jesus finds his disciples and he gives them one simple instruction. Come, follow me. And there are a couple ways that it gets phrased after that. I will make you fishers of men. Or in Luke, it says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, hear the journey in that. Hear the stages. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Or come, follow me, and then I will send you out to fish for people. They didn't start off fishing for people. First, they had to follow Jesus and get changed by Jesus, and then this transformation takes place. Here's that journey a little bit more expanded. So this one we do have. This is from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to look at something here in 1 Peter 2. So he gives this kind of exhortation to the church. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want to highlight this progression that's even in this paragraph here. So let's go to the next one. I saw this in the passage as we were reading it. So even the very beginning here, there's an acknowledgement of growth and maturation because he starts this analogy with like newborn babies. Crave spiritual milk, but the purpose is so that you may grow up in your salvation. That does not mean you get more saved. There's no levels, there's no hierarchies of saved. So what's he talking about? He's talking about spiritual maturity, this growth process that you will grow now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God. And that's important because the first and really the primary thing that matters, what someone is connected to, is Jesus Christ. That's more important than connected to a church. And we're going to talk also about being connected to a church, but the primary thing that we are interested in connecting people to is God. connected to his gospel, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Now we're talking about being connected to the church. So here's person over here, person over here, person over here, person over here. But the image is not just a bunch of scattered rocks. The image is of an architect who's building those people together into a spiritual house. That's the church. It's one of the metaphors that Paul uses as well, of a foundation and walls and pillars, and this idea that we rely on each other, we strengthen each other, but also that there's an identifiable something of people who have been connected to the gospel and are now connected to each other. And then the final stage, to be a holy priesthood. This is just one verse that gives us this very biblical idea of the priesthood of all believers. There's more, but look what's being happened here. We've gone from newborn babies to priests. There is a journey to now these people who have been built together, they've actually got a purpose. They've got a mission. They've got a responsibility to do the types of things that Jesus does. To be a holy priesthood does not just mean stand up here, and it doesn't mean wear robes, and it doesn't mean give communion. It's to connect people to God, to connect people to the church. So there's this incredible journey. There's this incredible growth. And I want to suggest, at least as I have been processing this, that there are stages within spiritual maturity in this area. There's stages of how somebody goes from unconnected to connected, and then even becoming a connector. And I think we have this here. So this is not Bible. This is Tyler trying to understand the Bible. But we all start somewhere. And I think in this, where we start is disconnected. The Bible makes it very clear that we're enemies of God, enemies of each other. And so stage one is just somebody who's not connected, not a believer, or maybe not connected to a church in any way at all. But as we go through life and as we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, I think this is how Jesus wants to grow us. So let's process what this looks like in a minute, and then we'll get really, really practical here. So maybe after that, stage two, I would maybe put a nickname on that of just casual attender. So somebody who's like, it's no longer scary to go to that church, but I come in and I get to see the church happen, and then I go. We don't happen to have a good back door at this church, but I have been at churches that have really good back doors, and I would call it, those are the back door sneak out people, right? Maybe even during the last song, you know, whatever. It's like, boom, gone, don't have to deal with anything, okay? So, comfortable at church, but not connected. Now, after that, maybe some things have changed, and maybe there's been a connection or two. And I've got some friends at church. I've got somebody I can talk to, but that's good enough. And I've stopped there. And so there's a little bit of connection, but now we've put a halt maybe on growth. And I'm going to say in my experience, I think there's a significant roadblock, or can be a significant roadblock between stage three and four. And there can be a significant roadblock between stage four and five. This is where it really takes the work of the Holy Spirit. But let's say we get beyond that. Stage four is somebody who's actively seeking greater connection within their church. I'm not content with just knowing one person. I want these to be my people. And maybe they're becoming your people. How do I get to know more people? How do I get to know somebody on a deeper level? What does that look like to be more connected to my church than before? And this idea of growing in depth of relationship, not just number of relationship, but true connection there. And then between four and 5, as we've seen all the way from just come follow me to go fish for people, as we've seen all the way from newborn babies to holy priesthood, is eventually this growth even turns us around to going and doing the connecting, to bring somebody before Jesus, to build a connection. So, a way to process what this looks like in our real world, and I want to say 2 things about this. One, it looks a lot more linear than it really is. Doesn't always work like that. There are days, maybe weeks, when it's harder to live into one stage than another, right? Life doesn't always go upwards and to the right. Sometimes we grow for a little while, something changes, and now there's a new scenario in which we have to kind of humble ourselves and let the Holy Spirit do some more work. And I want to say a second thing about this. Again, I said this is one of those areas where we've got emotions connected to it. I truly, 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 truly believe this is not, we are not having an introvert-extrovert conversation. I don't think that's what we're doing. I understand where such an argument might come from. It feels like there are people who just go and talk, and that's what they do, and that's kind of how they're made. But Jesus gave this invitation, and Peter unpacks this invitation. An introvert-extrovert thing is not in there. Come follow me, and I will make you to be able to fish for people. So, we got to wrestle with that, because that means that me and my personality might actually live this out different than somebody in their personality. And I say, praise the Lord for people who are kind of naturally gifted at this. There are some people where God has given them a supernatural ability to do what we're talking about, right? That's kind of how spiritual gifts work and how God-designed personalities work, is this comes easier for some people. However, it's still the invitation. You're here probably not because of a sermon you heard from me. You're here because of a personal connection, somehow, somewhere. There was somebody who told you, and now you're here. So we get brought into this. And so this is not actually going from like introvert to extrovert, because this is true of all of us. And even when Lauren and I talk, we do this very differently. She is far more outgoing and bubbly than me, who has to like make a conscious decision. I'm going to go try to connect somebody. She just kind of does it. And so this is not an introvert to extrovert progression. This actually is a progression from immaturity to maturity and from selfishness to selflessness. And that's again why I say it's not entirely linear. We wrestle with these things. Sometimes better than others, and that's totally okay. Lo, why don't you come on up, and we'll shift a little bit. And as we do this, I just want to say again, our heart in this conversation. Oh, you are going to sit on that side. You tricked me. Okay. So 2 things about like my heart for our church is 1. That nobody remains disconnected on our watch. If it's within our ability and we have something we can do about it, that nobody at Rooted should just be disconnected. I think that's not okay. I think we can do better. And then 2, to help wherever possible, that we grow through that journey. So if I have an ability or can impart in somebody an ability to help guide anyone through this process, that's what we want to do, is to grow in our mandate to fish for people, which was really just their version of connect the unconnected, right? Get somebody and get them connected to Jesus. Get somebody and get them connected to the church. So, hi, babe. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You are, when you talk, you are going to have to bring it up. Yeah, yep. It won't work. Okay, so I'm going to do a little intro. And one of the, so I picked Lauren not just because my wife. One of the things that was meaningful to me, I know you didn't know we were going to do this part. When we first had the conversation, so it was probably almost 2 years ago now, the very first time people started bringing up this idea of planting a church. And I would get some questions from time to time, like, how do you know you can do that? And like, especially from one of my family members in particular, asked me all the time, was like, are you ever scared? I was like, please stop asking me that. Like, I don't want to keep answering that. But one of the things that gave me a lot of encouragement and courage and hope in this was, at least in this area, Lauren and I have been doing this together for a long time. And I would say Lauren is the best connector that I know. And so I didn't really know, right? There's other stuff we don't know, other stuff I still got to learn. But I was like, I know that we have this heart for connecting people to Jesus and connecting people to the church. But I wanted you guys to be able to hear kind of her perspective, because again, like, how we go about this is very, very different. And so let's go to you, Lo, and just kind of talk about how, when it comes to this idea of you, Lauren, follower of Jesus, connecting other people to something, like, what's your motivation?
Okay.
What compels you?
I took notes because I'm nervous, so I'll look at these sometimes. Well, I think about, like, I'll just use the example of when we were new to North Shore, and I was very comfortable at our last church. I knew a lot of people there because we'd been there a long time. And then coming to North Shore when we were there, it was all new. Like, I didn't know anybody, and when I walked in, it felt like isolated or, like, unconnected, and not isolated, but I was scared and nervous a little bit. And then to compare to after being there for a little bit and coming in and people wave and smile at you and you know, like, oh, I can go talk to them. I feel safe here. Like, I know people and people know me, and everyone wants to feel known and loved. And only God can perfectly know you and love you. But we as believers can show other people love and make them feel known. So I think seeing, like, knowing the difference for myself, but then also seeing it for other people is really, it brings joy to me. And I think that's my answer. Yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah.
I'm not a speaker like Tyler, so I will fumble through some things while I talk.
No, you're great. So go back. You talked about hope and our last a couple churches ago, but go as far back as you want. I just want to hear in your own life, how did you, so we're not talking about like stage five being a connector yet. How did you get, one of the words we use, like, plugged in? Mm-hmm. So youth group, we've done a few different churches. How did you go out and get like connected to each of those different places?
I actually thought of this while I was sitting over there, so I'm changing my answer of, I played soccer for most of my life, and then when I went into high school, we had tryouts and everything, and I made the varsity team, which was exciting, but I was also, like, the youngest one on the team, and I didn't know anybody. I'd been at a private school for all of my, like, elementary, middle school, and I didn't know any, like, I knew people at the high school, but I didn't know anybody on the soccer team, and so I was very quiet. When I'm uncomfortable, I get really quiet, but for soccer, obviously, you have practice, so you show up, but you could compare that to other things in life. Like, I just went to things consistently. I went and I talked to people and just got comfortable with being uncomfortable and talking about what other people wanted to talk about to some extent. So that was kind of the first step, is going to things, going to, like, youth group events and stuff, and then talking to people, even though I didn't know them or knew what to talk about. And then eventually people started inviting me things. Like, I wrote down while I was sitting over there, my friend, she's one of my friends now since soccer, her name's Emily, and she invited me over for, like, a dinner at her house with some of the soccer girls that were all a year older than me, but I was very excited, and it felt very like, oh, she wants me to come to something. And part of it was just that I had talked and, like, put myself out there a little bit. So, oh, and then like when people, well, I'm trying to think of how to make this more relatable. I'll talk about at North Shore too a little bit, is when we were new, I had Emery, I just had her. And so I would kind of just go try to talk to moms that I would see, even though I didn't know them, but I had a baby and that kind of connected me, like finding some connection to talk to people. And then I remember somebody invited me to go on like a stroller walk and stuff. And so I think part of it for me is just going to things and saying yes, even though it's kind of uncomfortable, or it is very uncomfortable because you don't know them. But then you get, you can make good friendships and relationships.
You made me think of a question, so I'm sorry it's not on your paper. And if you don't have an answer, that's fine. But you said become comfortable with uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer for like how you did that?
Oh.
How does one get comfortable with just being doing uncomfortable?
It. I think just doing it more often, like saying yes to it. And Tyler talked a lot more about like Bible verses and stuff, and so I didn't write them on my paper. But, like, I have things I might think of. But I did, like, I think, oh, I just made sure that's not mine. And let me think for a second. I don't know necessarily. Other than, like, maybe fine. Praying through, like, on the spot of praying through, like, God help me to have words to say to this person. I guess that would be more in the connecting, but, yeah.
Cool. I just, I don't think I've ever heard you say it that way, but I don't know how often I hear, like, just processing, stepping into discomfort, and then even, you know, kind of hearing in your answer that, like, it lessened over time. It's really, really cool. So, come back to here. On a typical Sunday, do you have, like, a plan? Do you have goals? Do you have objectives? No. What are you thinking about on a Sunday morning?
Okay, well, I think about the kids area. It's like my first priority usually to get it set up. And then, and kind of what you were saying of like, I'm speaking probably after a lot of like getting uncomfortable. Like I've already kind of done some of that. And so I kind of go on autopilot. I don't think about it very much. I just know that I'm going to go talk to people and I just do that. And so I'll call them touch points with some people. Like some people I always go talk to because maybe they're some of my closer friends that I see outside of church. But then also if I see somebody that's not being talked to or a group of people, like there were some people I talked to this morning that sit close to each other but weren't talking and I wanted to talk to both of them. So I just tried to get them all to talk with me. So I feel like I do that. That's my plan. I don't plan it, but that's what I do.
Yeah, you still have like a couple of mini
objectives.
Yeah, you have some things that you
try to
accomplish,
and I try to
on
make sure the people that are not talking to anybody or look maybe sad or something are talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Even if it's just me.
Yeah. So yeah, and maybe in doing that, do you have certain tips or things that have helped?
Mm-hmm. I liked this one. I wrote this. I have to look at my paper. But I also wrote, it says, get comfortable with awkward, you being awkward, them being awkward, saying the wrong things. Because it is awkward when you like talk to somebody you don't know or you don't know what they're interested in. Like I think about, I shared this at our last mom's group with Ashley, will remember, at like nail salons or anything. I'll just talk to the people, like talk to somebody who's sitting next to me and I don't know them and I don't know what they're interested in. But if you ask questions, like people eventually will talk about something. And if they don't, then you can talk a little extra, I guess. And then usually you get to say something of related to church or God. And so that's also a cool opportunity. What else did I write here? Oh, there's still silence sometimes, but people, what did I write here? Oh, the intentionality of connection goes a long way. So don't take it too seriously or be afraid of not saying the perfect thing. Because the person that you're talking to is also not perfect, and they have their own quirks and stuff. So, yeah, that's what I wrote.
Yeah. That's where, like, you and I are very different in that for sure. We go, I don't go get my hair cut anymore. I do it myself. I remember I don't want to talk to that person. I just want to sit there.
Like a massage. I talk to the lady the whole time. I've only had a couple massages, but I talk the whole time to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. I know I am a different in that way.
But that's what's cool. Like there's still some differences in like a, you know, personality or just amount of words wanting to share, but I love the the approach, the mission, the philosophy is still there to make a connection with somebody. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about like how many friends do you have, right? There's a underlying purpose to that is mm-hmm. Either to real connect with them in that moment or connect them to something.
One more thing.
You
sorry.
Asking a question?
No, I have something. I'm
you have the microphone. You don't have to do it.
I wrote something down. Also, Tyler he read his book last night, but I was reading a book. I'm trying to read a book every month this year, which is not. Anyways, but one of the quotes from the book this week just really stood out, and it said, "My voice is for not for my own use, but for glorifying God." And then this was the part that related, and reflecting his love to those around me. So part of it is just making, like when I talk to other people, I try to make them feel like loved in some way. And then usually I will try to connect, like if they're not here at church, I'm meeting them outside of church, I'll try to connect something of what I say to like just opening up the conversation of going to church. Or usually that's an easy one because then you can dive deeper. Like you hear about if they're going to church or if they used to or if they had a bad experience, and then you can talk more about personal stuff with them if you're wanting to and they're willing to.
Speaking of outside of church, how much time do you think you spend? It ruins it when you say that.
I know, sorry. But I was thinking it.
How much time do you spend with somebody at Rooted outside of Sunday morning?
We went over all these questions because I didn't want to be up here. So we... That's just my honest answer.
She's not doing this for me, by the way. She's doing this for you guys.
Yes. Anyways.
She told me no.
Yes. My number is going to be higher than probably other people, partly because of my proximity to Tyler, like in different going to multiple church events, but then partly just the season of life that I'm in. Like I have two little kids, and so I'm in a co-op with somebody in the church, and we have like play dates and dinner stuff. So I will say like my amount of hours maybe is higher, but I would say 8 to 10 hours outside of church because we have life groups and co-op and play dates and dinners and stuff. But that number does really kind of differ depending on season of life for us. But I don't know if I was supposed to say anything else. I didn't write your questions. I only wrote my answers. But one of the, I did write, if you wrote why or what,
no, that was mostly what you
wrote. Well, I'll still say it helps me feel connected to other people and not lonely. Like the more time I spend with other people, I'm just looking at Mike and Tammy because I see them pretty frequently. The closer, like I know I could go talk to you whenever. I always know Tammy's in the back usually, so I can go back there if I feel like I need a hug or to talk to somebody. Mike's also a good hugger too. But so I will say like it is worth it to spend time with people outside of just Sunday morning because your connection goes a lot deeper. It doesn't have to be weekly coffee or something. It doesn't have to be all the time, but some connection, helpful.
I don't sell yourself short either. I don't think it has actually all that much to do with me because when I met you, you were doing a lot of this.
You're actually holding me back. I'm just kidding.
Give me that. My gosh. All right, no more off script. What do we got? No, for real, like, I'm trying to think, because we don't do maybe a life group, but almost everything that you talked about is not stuff with me. We only do a couple things together. And then you have... And that's part of why I thought it'd be good to hear from you is you have initiated building those bridges mm-hmm. to make every place, this is where you're better than me, I like making every place where it's full of your people.
I have two more things to talk about. It's related. Can you hold one thing so I don't forget? Groups. You're talking about group, like grouping people. But my first thing was I thought of was, if I had a pen, I would write it down so I don't forget, is I was thinking about, I'll just say that one, is one of my other tips is that if you're going to try to connect people, like even in here too, it is helpful to connect, like talk to two people at once, because then there's more things that probably you might have in common, like Mike and Carla might have something that, like, maybe I don't know, I'm not interested in, but they could talk about it, and I'm just there, but now I've connected, you guys already know each other, but now I've connected to other people, so I'm not the only connection, and that's part of my, like, I guess that's one of my goals when I come to church, is to connect other people to each other, to not really be the only connection that they have to Rooted, but for other people to feel connected and feel like, because I can't be everybody's friend and see everybody every week, but everybody wants to feel connected, and so... yeah, that's one of my goals.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing I thought of was, like, now when I come into church, because I'll say put in the work to get to know quite a few of you at some level, is that I walk in and I'm like, these are my people. Like, I know I could talk to a lot of people here. And you can get to that. And I feel like I've gotten to that point at the last two churches we were at. But it does take work of, like, consistently showing up to things and consistently talking to people and feeling awkward, and that's okay.
We've got time, so maybe we'll do this one last one, and I'll go two after yours. But we kind of had, like, what's been challenging in connecting to people or other people. I'll go after you. I don't have whatever you wrote.
I didn't write anything. You can go first, and I'll go afterwards.
Oh, dear. Well, this may not help you. The one thing I was thinking of, again, this is one of those areas, like I said, it's not linear. It's also not, everybody feels this stuff. I forget what you said at the beginning. You don't want anybody to feel alone. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all shared experience stuff that we go through. And I know one of the things that you and I have definitely had emotional conversations about is kind of a realization that when we sort of took on that, like, mantra of initiating and inviting and connecting and doing a lot of that, I don't know how else to say it, in a lot of past situations, it hurt when it wasn't reciprocated. We looked around and realized that we were doing the inviting, and we weren't getting invited to stuff. And we've cried over that. And it's not a thing I, like, hold against people. Just, it helps me realize that this is hard. This is hard. Relationships are hard. We talked at the end of Revelation, the relationships that broke because of sin. These things that are meant to bring life into the world, it gets hard and it gets tricky. And so I know we have felt that. And so I think I say that in part two to just help me and us, like, not make assumptions. And I think that's where I've landed in trying to kind of hold the best view of people. I think people assume that, like, we will do it, we'll invite or something. They couldn't possibly be lonely. They're super connected or whatever. And I just don't know if that's true of anybody. I think everybody could use more relationship. I think everybody could use stronger connection. And so I don't feel like we've totally landed on how to do that, but I know you and I both have sat with that of, like, man, how do we, what do we do with that? And it's more of an ongoing conversation, I guess.
My answer is different, but that's,
yeah.
I mean, the question is, has it ever been hard to connect people?
Yeah, what's been challenging in connecting with people?
I'm trying to think what I want to say. I wrote down one small thing. That was my rough draft paper. He has it. And I wrote my finances on here. But maybe just, like, there have been friends of mine in the past who I am, like, the only connection, and they don't end up wanting to connect with other people. And so it is hard for them and for me, where, like, I want them to feel, like, the joy of being known and having connections, not tons and tons of friends, but being more comfortable. And yeah, maybe that. I think of one of my friends who doesn't currently go to church, but I'm still close with her and stuff. And yeah, that's probably what I would say is like mm-hmm. somebody who doesn't maybe reciprocate or want to further connection, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because we both have some of those.
And then it just look like from the outsider, it looks lonely to like that's what I feel for them. It feels lonely. Can I leave now?
I was going to ask if you, I'm going to wrap up. I was going to ask if you wanted to stay or not.
I will stay. I mean, how long is it?
You can leave. You're a lot better at this than you give Thanks. Yourself credit for. Thanks, babe. I'm going to stay here if you don't mind. I feel tired. Okay. So one last thing on this, and I was looking at again the beginning of Gospels. John chapter 1 has two instances of something, and I think in this whole conversation, I would add an additional reason for why to try to lean into this growth process that the Holy Spirit can have us on to grow down that list. I think when you step into the mission of Jesus, it protects against purpose fatigue. I'm going to say that again because my kid is distracting everybody. When you step into the mission of Jesus, it protects you from mission fatigue. And what I mean by that is it can become easy to feel purposeless in your Christianity. And I will stand on this hill, I will die on this hill, to just learn your Bible the rest of your life is not why Jesus died for you. To just be a lifelong recipient, to receive, to attend, to observe, and to not participate both with the church and with the mission of Jesus, it actually is a purposeless Christianity, and that brings mission fatigue. I don't know what I'm doing. What is the point of this? Great question. We're meant to actually step into the point of this. And in John chapter 1, we see this lived out in just such a beautifully pure way. Jesus goes to Andrew, and he goes to, I believe it's Philip, and he calls them to be his disciples. Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter. Philip goes and gets Nathanael, and they both say the exact same thing. I found, come check out Jesus. Let's check out Jesus together. And so that's usually, that's where I start in like, how do I do this? What does it mean to be a connector? How do I try to step into that purpose, that mission that Jesus has given me? Well, I think the purest form of it starts at the beginning of the Gospels is come see Jesus with me. Let's go to something together. Let's go to church together. Let's try this group together. Let's have a coffee and conversation about life and what's hard. Where are you growing? Just do something like that together. But that's a barrier, right at the end of that journey. And I think it's so important to break through that barrier because that's the actual mission that Jesus has given us. Not only come watch me, but come follow me and become a fisher. So it's attainable for all of us. And it's so cool. It's so cool. All right. We're going to take a shift here in a moment. We're going to close in worship. And before we do that, I want to give some instructions for what happens next because I will temporarily be disposed. But we get to celebrate new life this morning in the back with the baptism of Jack Cole. So I'm really excited for that. And it's cool that we get to do it this week. Jack shared at a couple of the men's community things. He just responded to a simple, you want to come to a thing with me, or you want to come to our group. And here we are, and he'll share more about himself. But connecting people to the gospel, connecting people to the church, and we get to celebrate that again. So what we're going to do, though, after we worship, I want our kids to come watch baptism. It's really important to us here to be able to involve our children in what the grown-ups do. So after worship, we're all going to congregate at the tank. If you would help congregate your children as well, that will be awesome. And then we get to celebrate, okay? Let me pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you have not left any of us on our own. We are not better on our own. Even though our independent culture tells us that that's a value, God, we are better together. Just let us live into that. Give us what we need this morning to embrace what that next step is that you have for us. That we would be deeply connected to you. That we would be deeply connected to your church. Thank you for this purpose that you've given us. Thank you for the help that you have given us. And as we lift up not one voices, but a group of voices in response to you, would you just meet us here in worship? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.